because I had to lean forward to keep my arm dangling out from my body. And obviously I made quite a lot of like, noises as well. And then somebody else had to take my glove off for me because my arm was so long and dangly that the other arm couldn't reach it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, welcome to this week's Single Track World podcast. I'm Hannah. I'm here with, in alphabetical order,
Benji
and Mark.
Yay, well done, you got that bit right. Yeah, okay, the outtakes are good. This week, it's all a bit abortive. We're going to see where we end up chatting because everything's gone wrong. So Benji's just suggested that we should talk about events, which kind of goes into events that didn't happen last week, which was Red Bull Hardline, which I went down to.
And what happened, yeah. Hannah?
So it rained all week long. There was a successful women's camp before the weekend's main event, which happened in spite of the weather. And then there wasn't any riding on the Friday. There wasn't any riding on the Saturday. They tried to put it on the Sunday and they had to call it off. And it was pretty wild. So,
yeah, I assume it's more to do with wind than rain, isn't it? That would be the...
It was very windy. Yeah, it was very windy, but it was also very wet. And I think just the combination of it all was just too much. And I kind of feel like, fair play to Red Bull for pulling the plug on it, because it happened in a kind of phased process where they did a little bit of riding Friday morning. And by the time I got there, which was lunchtime Friday, they pulled the plug on it and everyone was sat in the pub and then not drinking, I should add. They were just sitting around being warm. And then they decided there wasn't going to be any riding on the Saturday because there was a wind warning, like a full-on weather warning job, and there were thunderstorms. And then the Sunday, it started off as, we're going to have it without any public there so that riders could take the time. There wasn't going to be a live broadcast. They were just going to sort of pick the opportunities to ride as and when the weather presented itself. And then it was kind of downgraded again, like, you can have a go if you want. And then it was, no, you're just not doing it. And there was a massive field of infrastructure just to put the race on, because we went into it by mistake. So we were supposed to go into the field with the media and the public and the finish thing. But like, just the metal sheets that they put on the ground to drive along alone is just a vast amount of infrastructure before you've even got into broadcast stuff and lorries and first aid and all of that.
So give us an explanation. What is Red Bull Hardline for those that aren't familiar with it? And why? And here's a leading question: why would high winds be a particular problem for this event?
So it's kind of billed as the world's toughest downhill race. And whereas Rampage is massive features, and I think most people listening be familiar with Red Bull Rampage, it's not a timed event. There's no race to get from top to bottom. Whereas Hardline has massive features, but it's also a race. Like, the winner is the person that can do it the fastest. So you're doing it under time pressure. And some people will throw tricks in on the way down because they're like, I'm not going to get a race run. I'm just going to get some good photos. But so they have this format where you have the first hits happen earlier in the week, and the riders have to go and figure out like how to ride these features. And then they have to string it all together into a race run. And there are like 90-foot gaps and 17-meter drops and just, yeah. And it's all on the side of a mountain, which on Sunday had a huge waterfall, like a proper tourist attraction level waterfall going down the side of the mountain. And then you could see the windsocks on the track like blowing out sideways beside this waterfall. And these features that, like, yeah, you take off on one part of the mountain and the landing is somewhere else on the mountain. It is ridiculous.
So the amount of airtime that the riders get makes the wind a particular issue for this event.
Yeah.
And it's invite only, is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
So it's not like the general public can just rock up and pay some money and enter?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, riders are paid an appearance fee for being there. And it's massively consequential. So I guess that's the other difference from, say, a World Cup track that's consequential because you're racing it. But you can kind of have a look at the features and you can ride it slowly in a lot of instances. Mm. But with these big air features that are in Hardline, it's more like Swatch Nines or Darkfest or something. They're these huge features where you have to go fast and you have to pull up as hard as you can. There is no half measure. Mm. And so, yeah, you've got to hit it fast and then you've got to land it. And the landings aren't groomed roadways like they are in Darkfest, where, yeah, that's, I think Hannah Bergman described it as like basically a concrete roadway. And what you have in Hardline instead is just narrow, single track, rocky, janky exits and entrances to these huge features.
So who's designed this course? Is it an Atherton thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know, is it Dan or is it G? Is it G rides it? Does Dan, Benji, you know, is it a G Atherton
Dan,
designed?
Yeah, Dan.
Or is it a Dan?
No, it's Dan. Dan's Dan. The digger.
Yeah, he's the digger. Yeah. He's a lot to answer for.
Yeah.
Well, that sort of segues into, I mean, the event is huge. The riders, big pro riders, and the waterfall and the weather. But that wasn't the main event or the main consequence of this weekend. Was it, Hannah?
What happened to you this weekend? No. Well, because there wasn't any riding at Hardline on the Saturday, I thought, well, we'll go and ride at Dovey, as did quite a lot of other people, despite the fact that it was torrential thunderstorm rain. And I had a great time. I think I got 3 runs in. On various things, and it's changed quite a lot since I was there before. Some of the stuff that was more like groomed and smooth on Super Swooper, now like some of the bedrock's a bit more exposed, and also it was just so wet, there was just rivers running down it. And I had a great time and I was riding well, and I got to the bottom of I think it's called Original DH, and there were a series of like big drop things, and I thought, I've ridden well to this point. I've got a bunch of work to do on Sunday and I've got Hard Rock to ride the next week. I shouldn't push my luck, and I'm going to walk down. And I walked down one feature, walked down the next feature, and then just slipped in slow-mo on my ass and dislocated my shoulder. And then walked with my arm dangling like some kind of undead, because I had to lean forward to keep my arm dangling out from my body. And obviously I made quite a lot of like, noises as well. And had to get down like a series more double drops or whatever and back to base, and then was escorted into the medical hut where, to be fair, Dan did come and say hello. Oh dear, what did you do? Kind of thing. I was trying to be careful.
There's pictures. There's pictures, isn't there? On our Instagram feed, on the Single Track Mag Instagram feed. Go and check it out. There's pictures of Hannah. It's not for the queasy, because there's pictures of Hannah's dislocated shoulder, and then there's X-rays. And yes, so go and check that out.
So the ambulance driver said that it was the best dislocation that he'd seen, because it was such a like classic like medical student kind of, this is what a dislocated shoulder looks like. And I had to get another ride. So there was a bunch of riders went by and they were really great, like on the track. Like some people helped Kevin get my bike down, and someone came back and rode my bike the rest of the way, and somebody else got the medical people to come and meet me in the car park. And then somebody else had to take my glove off for me because my arm was so long and dangly that the other arm couldn't reach it. Which was not a problem that I'd foreseen.
I'm so going to pull that out for the intro.
it wasn't the greatest of Saturday afternoons.
This has screwed things up for you, hasn't it? Because you were going to do Hard Rock this next weekend.
I was going to go to Hard Rock for the first time. Can't do that. I've got my arm in a sling and I'm not allowed to take the sling off. And it's like full on strapped to my body. Got a physio appointment. I'm really impressed. Phoned this morning. Local GP surgery has a physio appointment this afternoon. So I'm sort of hoping that the physio will go, oh no, you need to wave your arm around a bit. But at the moment, it's firmly strapped to me. And the doctor told me it would fall out again if I took the sling off. So, ick. Yeah, no riding for a bit.
Okay.
I should just have ridden the bloody feature. Kevin took a photograph of it, and it looks like absolutely nothing. You know when you take a picture of a feature from the bottom and it looks flat? Yeah, it looks like some kind of National Trust little walkway. You know?
That'll learn you. Right, what's next? So that's what's happened.
Well, so props to all the women who were at the Hardline event. Go and read my article that I wrote up about that, because Tani Seagrave, back from massive concussion injury, pulled together this women's camp, and they didn't ride a whole top to bottom course, which isn't surprising given how little time they had there, but they did hit a number of features. Did all the big air stuff, and they did a really nice job, or Tani did a really nice job of pulling together racers and free riders so that their skills kind of complemented each other, because the racers were quite used to all the kind of janky stuff, but the free riders were used to the big air stuff, and yeah, they just worked collaboratively to big each other up, hit big stuff. So yeah, good to see that happening.
Yeah, go and check out Hannah's write-up of that on the website, because it is an excellent write-up. So yeah, check it out.
That's it, isn't it? They're not postponing it, are they? That's just it. Done.
No, that's it. I mean, it will have cost them, I hate to think how much, but it's nice to see the right choice being made in terms of rider safety, rather than kind of like, well, you know, shit happens and oops, somebody's blown off sideways and a nasty injury. Because it's just so consequential.
I mean, it does worry me, these kind of events, that these rider invite events, I mean, it's like Rampage worries me greatly, because each year it gets, or each year the riders take it to a different level and they do more and more. And like you say, the consequences are huge if things go wrong. And I just kind of wonder whether we've been lucky so far. I mean, at Rampage, there's been a few horror stories of people just falling off cliffs and things, but so far, well, yeah.
Well, Kyle Strait was at Rampage, injured himself, broke his back. He was back at a Hardline riding on a bike, on a prototype Vitus bike that was only 2 weeks old. Like, that's a lot of trust in your bike builders. But he was really happy to be there and happy to be back and happy to have got some hits in. Like, yeah, he didn't feel like, oh, I've travelled right all around the world for nothing. And I did think, yeah, obviously the women weren't really eyeing up the competition, and there is prize money available for people who win the race, but everybody is getting an appearance fee. And I feel like that's pretty important, because you're not under like as much pressure to perform and deliver something. Like if you've gone there and put all your money into getting there, and you're not getting anything for, you're just getting exposure for being there, then there's a lot more pressure on you to try and get that prize money, isn't there? Whereas if you've sort of covered your costs of getting there, then that's a much better, healthier position to be in. Whereas if you look at World Cup races, people are saying maybe they're a bit dangerous, the speeds are fast, whatever. But there you've got a different sort of pressure. You've got team pressure. You're not getting an appearance fee. And you've now got more rounds to get yourself through, to tire yourself out on, to get to the final. So, yeah, maybe the big air stuff in a way has rider safety more at its heart. I don't know.
Well, yeah, this is my worry, is that it isn't. I mean, the thing is with World Cup racing, as you follow it down, those courses are designed by course designers with kind of safety in mind. To a certain extent, you know, you see the padding on the trees, the danger areas are marked out. There's netting, there's all that sort of stuff there. And you don't see that at Rampage, because it's a natural environment. The whole point of Rampage, it's in this natural environment. And like you say, even with Red Bull Hardline, those jumps are insanely big. And as we found out, I can't remember who it was. There was a female rider did one of the jumps, landed it at, got the right speed, landed it absolutely perfectly. But the compression on the perfect landing was such that she still ended up injured.
Yeah, it was Jess Blewett, and she did go a little bit deep on the landing. But yeah, it was basically the pressure on the landing.
Yeah. So when things get this big, I mean, how much bigger can these things go before somebody has a really nasty accident? And I know I sound like my dad right now. But it is a concern. It's really exciting for us to watch, and it's fascinating. But I just wonder whether it's going too far. It doesn't really reflect mountain biking, does it? If I'm going to be really, really...
It's funny, isn't it? Because I have watched Hardline, and like the big jumps, they're just boring. I'll come out and say it. I don't care. It's like Audi 9s and SWAT, whatever. You know, Supercross exists. Watch that. Why are we doing like a lame ass version of something that's massive, massive? When they get into the woods and then they do the cannon and then the big metal thing, blah, 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 and then they do a big hip that slows you down to zero. And then it's like when they hit the trees, oh, it's interesting. When there's turns and all that really disgusting rock wheelie drops you have to do at like 8 miles an hour, which is probably faster than that, but it looks really slow. I can relate to that weirdly. Not that I have to relate to racing, but it's just like big stuff is boring. I don't know why they're chasing it.
I think it actually is important that you can relate to what you see in sport. I think it's you think about any sport, and there's always some part of it that the spectators can relate to, you know, even whether it's motorsport, whether it's football. You watch
curling. How do you relate to curling? I mean, I don't know.
Well, you can. We've all slid on ice, and there's nothing extreme. And you think, I could have a go at that. That looks fun.
You can do curling. It's garstang. There you go.
When you look at things like Rampage, and you look at things like the massive gaps at Hardline, and you look at it, and yes, it's a spectacle, but relating to it? No, I think it goes beyond. I'm not a fan, honestly. All right, I'm going to come out and say it.
You cannot be a fan, but I guess the public, usually what you see is the end product. You see that event at the end of it. And some you see a bit of the first hits coverage if you look at that stuff, but it's all a process and it's all calculated, and no one's just hurling themselves off this stuff without thinking about it.
I get that.
You know, if you can do a 6 foot Yeah, if you can do a 6 foot gap jump, then you can build it up, and then you can do the 12 foot, and so then you get to know like what the speed is go into this thing to take off, and how hard you have to pull, and then so then it just becomes fairly natural, this progression, and then it's in your head, it's in like actually so. Was it Ad Brayton that said it's just falling out the sky? I think it was Adam Brayton said it's just falling out the sky.
Yeah.
Like it's actually that it's kind of easy. It's just in your head.
But when are we going to get to the bit that it's just now, it's not actually mountain biking, it's just stunts on bikes. You know, when does it become Evel Knievel jumping over buses?
But that's the thing about Hardline, is it's not. Whereas something like Darkfest is just stunts. Hardline is stringing together the stunts with the natural riding, and that's why people find it so hard, because it's such a mix of skills, and that's why that's one of the things that makes it really interesting.
Yeah. I think my problem might be more with, I don't know, the Red Bull model here that seems to be pushing or encourage. I don't, they wouldn't say pushing. I think they'd definitely step back and say, we don't push any athletes to do anything. But there's a definite level of, you know, if you want to be part of this Red Bull event and the sponsorship and everything, then you're going to have to apply some pressure to yourself and go, you know, go big or go home. And I'm just kind of horribly waiting for something to go wrong.
I think there was a...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Brouhaha, a controversy about Rampage a few years ago along these lines, and I think that's why we've now got slopestyle in the desert that isn't actually very dangerous. So we used to have Rampage, it used to be interesting because you used to be riding along knife edge stuff, and Kelly McGarry and all the people who were like just flying down things that weren't so built, and we had the complaints, and now it's 3 hours of dusty slope style with the people from Dodgeball commentating on it.
Unless you're Braga Vesovic.
Who watches that?
Braga's great. Like,
well, exactly, yeah.
He washed out and injured himself, but, you know, his line looked great.
I just think, it's not mountain biking, and it's a lame version of something else. That's what it's like. It's a bit like slopestyle. I'll watch BMX, thanks. It's loads more impressive. And if I want to watch massive 100-foot gaps, I'll watch, motocross people. Because they're just like rubbish versions of that, isn't it?
Watch the latest mission.
Stick to what mountain biking is, because it's amazing, and do the tech-nar things that no other wheeled sport does, because that's the point. That's why downhill is miles better. Because it's what we do taken to the nth degree, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree entirely. I think the Rampage stuff and to the Hardline stuff are just taking it just a little bit beyond the reality of, or the sort of aspirational level of mountain biking. Certainly, anyway, maybe it's really personal. Who agrees with us? Are you with Hannah and you think that Hardline is fantastic and it's great for the sport? Are you with me and Ben? Do you think that maybe it's gone a little bit too far?
Hardline is brilliant once you've got past once it gets in the trees. It's amazing. But I just think we'd still have an event if it wasn't for all the jumps, wouldn't it? It's not a weatherproofed event, which is a bit odd considering it's in North Wales. I'm surprised I didn't start from but I suppose the whole point of it is these 90-foot things, isn't it?
No, apparently they did have a jigged course that would be more protected from the wind, but then it was still just too much, so yeah, they called it off.
It's not been before, has it?
I don't think so.
It's been postponed by day.
In 10 years. Yeah.
I guess that proves me and Benji wrong. It's a 10-year. It's got 10-year heritage. This thing. It's served its time. It's doing well. So who are we? Who are we to comment, Benji? We're just two old men whinging into microphones.
Two old dickheads who can't jump. That's why they don't like it. Can't do it.
Anyway, should we move on? What's next? What else has happened this in the last 7 days? Well, it's not what's happened in the last 7 days. It's what's probably going to happen this week if our plans go to plan.
Is this the hamsters?
There's things happening with the website. We've got a couple of things to give our listeners. Well, it depends when this goes out, and it depends when the stuff happens on the website as to whether this is a heads up or it's go and check this out. We don't know at the moment. But first of all, I'm going to start with resort guides. We've got something new to launch this week. It's a soft launch, which means it's going to be developing as we go. But we're launching a new section of the website called Single Track Resort Guides. We're going to launch it this week with a handful. I guess I need to sort of explain what a resort guide is, or certainly what a resort is. We're putting together sort of a global collection of some of the best places that you can go and ride in the world. Okay, and there's lots of options in the UK as well, so it's not one of these unattainable, you have to fly to New Zealand to do this, that, and the other. It's there's plenty of options that we're going to be reporting on the UK. But basically what we're putting together is a guide to each resort, and by resort we mean a place that you can go and stay. You can go and stay, you can ride your bike multiple days, there's accommodation there, there's more than just trails, there's a resort. There's stuff to do when you're not on the bike, and there's a lot of support for when you are on the bike. So as an example, I guess a classic one, Bike Park Wales is a bit of a resort, isn't it? It's got, you can go and stay in Merthyr Tydfil if you really have to. And there's more than one day's riding going on there. Tweed Valley is a bit of a resort these days. There's loads of places to stay, loads of stuff to do, loads of options of riding. So you could basically go to the Tweed Valley on holiday as a mountain biker. And Nevis Range as well. It actually calls itself a resort. It's a mountain resort. So these are some of the places that we're going to be launching with. I've been spending an awful lot of time, no one who knows me will be surprised, on the Whistler Resort Guide. And every day I keep adding a little bit more to it. So anyway, if you listen to this, you should go and check it out. Tell us what you think. Tell us if it's useful. Tell us if there's things that you'd like to see and on a resort guide, information that you'd like to know about. And that would be singletrackworld.com/resort-guides. There will be links in the menus, so you don't have to remember that. You can just go and hit the more button on the website and the drop down will come and it'll be on there and you can go and check it out. So there's that. But that's not the only thing that we're sort of launching as well. We actually have something new for the forum. We're launching. Now, this is, we need to be careful with this and put some context in place. It's interesting. I'm going to start with some Google stuff and then Hannah can chip in with.
Said no one ever. It's interesting. I'm going to start with some Google stuff.
We've known for quite a long time that the single track community, we get a lot of information behind the scenes from the website and from Google Analytics and things like this. So we do know an awful lot about the people who come to visit our website, and which sometimes it's not always apparent from when you go into the forum and look around what sort of people are coming to check out our website. One thing that's kind of been very surprising and a little concerning to us over the last few years is the fact that we know a lot of women come to Single Track, and we know that a lot of women read what we do there and they look at the forum. But when you look at the forum and you look at the website and you look at the comments, it's not always apparent that the female side of our community is there. In fact, the numbers are kind of pretty shocking. We have like nearly 700,000 people coming to the website every month. And we know that are between 22 and 25% of all of our site visitors are women. And yet when we look at the engagement, and by engagement, I think I say posts in the forum, comments, that sort of thing, we their women are, how do we describe it, Hannah? They're very unrepresented or unrepresentative. And so we've been wondering why is that? And so one of the things that we're going to, and we really want women to get involved with mountain biking. We really want women to get involved with the single track community. And we see that as really important. We see that as part of our raison d'etre of why we're here. And we've launched sections of the website just for women. We have a women's area of the website, singletrackworld.com/women, where all the content that is written by women is actually displayed. So all of our female authors, you can read their works there. And so we're just wondering what the issue is. And we've come up with an idea of how we're going to address this underrepresentation of women in the single track community. And we're actually going to launch a women's only forum. Hannah, do you want to take it up and explain how that's going to work and why we're doing it?
Well, you're giving me the tricky bit, aren't you?
Mm. Well, you've written about it in the members' newsletter, so.
Yeah, so the hamsters, our talented tech assistants, are making it so that you'll be able to choose your pronouns in the profile. And if you are a she or a her, then you'll be able to read the women's forum and engage with the women's forum. And and then come along and chat. I know from being a woman and in mountain biking, I can see women chatting about mountain biking and all sorts of other places where it's a women's forum by another name. And like MTB Chicks and Trails, for example, very successful Facebook women's group. And so it's not like women don't want to talk about mountain biking. They clearly do. And so it'd be nice if some of our single track readers who are women felt more able to chat, and whether creating a space that is for women will be the catalyst to that, or whether they're all too busy riding their bikes, I don't know. But it's a fairly simple, if you're a woman, and that would include trans women, just to be clear, then you can come into the women's forum and have a chat.
So there we are. Yeah, we're hoping to launch that this week. It is Monday, isn't it? Monday. Mm. Should we give some context? Monday. What is the date? It's the 17th.
17th. Yeah.
It's the 17th of July as we're recording this. So we're hoping that we're going to get that up, and we're really interested in your feedback. We're not doing this to make a statement. We're not doing this for anything. It's we're happy to receive your feedback, whether you think it's a good idea. So do tell us, and do get involved. So we'll see. And it's not an experiment. It's not kind of a trial, but we're flexible. We're always flexible about the things that we launch. So if things need to change, if we need to make it better, if we need to alter things, then we will do that. And we will do that in conjunction with you, our readers and listeners. So do let us know what you think about that.
Yeah, because I guess it informs what we write. Like, we do look at the forum, and the forum is part of the community, and there's all sorts of useful and interesting and entertaining information being shared there. But it also comes through to engaging with stories as well. And if people comment on stories and tell us about what they think of stories, then we know that, oh, well, people want to read about that, or they don't want to read about that, or they want to hear more about that, whatever. Mm. And if women don't come and tell us that, then we don't know what they think. And maybe they're not reading it. Well, we know they're reading it. That's the thing, is the stats show that they are reading it.
Yeah, we know they're there.
We know they're there. Not that that's creepy or anything. But, it's so... telling us, being vocal about what you think of stuff is useful, because then we've got more chance of writing more things that you're interested in. And what I do know from wider publishing statistics and things is that apparently women are more interested in reading and engaging with kind of personal stories about mountain biking, about the experience of mountain biking, than they are in tech reviews and 4-star things. And that's very much what Single Track does, is a lot of that sort of the experience of mountain biking stuff. So we should have people going, yeah, this is great.
Mm. That's exciting times. That's two new things launching on the website this week, so we hope you let us know what you think. Right, what's next? What else have we done this week?
Or going to do?
Dug out my waterproof trousers.
Yes, this is the week for testing waterproof kit. That is for sure.
I did do some of that at Duffy, that's for sure.
Yeah. I actually went riding at the weekend. I want to tell you about the ride I did at the weekend. Went riding with some friends. It was actually on Friday, so not quite the weekend. And it was in the Lake District. We found a quiet part of the Lake District to have a really good ride. It was out of Staveley, and it was into up and around Kentmere. It was not the classic Garbon Pass. It was, I think it's called the Three Rivers. And I actually tracked it on Komoot. And if any of our subscribers or any of our listeners have a Komoot account, then you can go and check out the route that I did as like a bonus on the Single Track Mag Komoot account. Go and check it out. Got some pictures on there, but it was brilliant. It reminded me of mountain biking of old, not, you know, proper cross country where you had so much mixed terrain and big climbs and techie descents. And I had such a good time. I can't tell you how much it sort of revitalized my sort of urge to go out into the countryside and ride rather than go into bike parks and things like that. It was fantastic. And it was amazingly quiet. I mean, the Lake District, it's peak season in the Lake District. You can't go riding any of the classic routes in the Lake District without tripping over or being, you know, hit from behind by e-bikers and all sorts of stuff. But this was a really quiet part of the Lake District. And it was amazing. We got in before the rain and had a fantastic time. So go and check that out.
I think I did that route with James Vincent as a photo shoot once, and it was absolutely pissing it down. Yeah. Which might be partly to do why it's so quiet out there, Mark. Everyone else had looked at the weather forecast.
Yeah, I did ride it. Oh, I did ride at the weekend. I rode on
what
Sunday.
What tyres did you use, Benji?
The biggest. Schwalbe have either been like wizards, and they sent they're like mud tyres, aren't they? So I had a Tacky Chan, the new one, on the back, and a Dirty Dan on the front, which I assume is meant to rhyme. And they were the ones with the purple stripe on. And I put them on an assisted bicycle and balls to the conditions. You go wherever you want. It's amazing. Because that's what's great. So between having a motor and having the world's grippiest tyres, I was totally not bothered about what was happening. While everyone else is either hiding away or binning it off. So I keep going, don't you? Well, good. Good. And then did I ride? Was that only yesterday? Bloody hell. Oh, no, I rode. And then on Thursday, I rode, of all places, around Accrington.
Oh, well, I used to ride a lot around
Stanley.
There as well.
Who are they?
Peel Park.
Exactly, yeah.
Peel Coppice, Park.
Yeah, up there, yeah.
Yeah, up the top. It's quite nice up there, isn't it?
It's quite big. There's quite an expansive little area, and then there's enough interesting ones in there. And then,
a resort guide for Accrington coming soon to the Single Track website?
Well, we'd have to expand and include Hindburn, I would imagine. Possibly even Hapton. So it's doable. We don't know.
Oh, right. What's coming up this week? Heads up on Fresh Goods Friday. It might even be out already. But what, Benji, you got any ideas of what's going in for FGF this week?
Oh, my God. It's Monday.
don't let on that we only do Fresh Goods Friday late on a Thursday afternoon.
I'm trying to think if there's anything secret to going. Oh, yeah, there's some wheels that are will be in. And that's honestly all I can remember. They are... they have a swear word warranty and a swear word in the warranty, and they're made of carbon. And there might be some other things arrived. I've got to put, what was that thing that arrived during this podcast? Privacy shower tent or something. Might put that in for events. I've also got one of Ted's birthday presents, which has arrived also during the podcast.
Oh.
That is...
Is it some kind of tech retro gaming thing? I got cool retro games last year.
I got... No, it's DVDs, so it probably is a bit retro.
It is retro.
Second-hand DVDs, because you get them for, like, one pence. And they're going to have to do something about it because it's Planet of the Apes, original box set, basically. And the cover has the spoiler on it, right? The spoiler of all time.
Oh, we're talking the classic film Planet of the Apes, aren't we? Yes. Yeah, I know Charles exactly Heston. What you mean. Shall we not spoil it for any listeners?
Well, no, I won't. I'm going to have to kind of remove the cover or reverse it or something. So that's what I'm trying to work out at the moment. And he's also got the first series of the original Star Trek that might arrive today as well.
Excellent. Very old. Yes, that's the geekiest thing in the world. I approve.
It's kind of like he's into sci-fi, but these are quite strangely for American things. They're quite left-wing humanist items. That if you go and watch them again, it's like Star Trek, in particular, is amazing. It's well good.
Yes,
so that's quite good. And there's loads of them. It's only season one, but it's got 30 episodes or something bananas.
Yeah, I think there's only two seasons. There's only two seasons of the original Star Trek.
Just need a lot of polyester. That was the main budget. Yeah. Imagine. Light bulbs. So that's what I'm doing. I kind of wait for Ted. Well, it's the end of an year, isn't it? I'm finishing primary school. That'll be this week's thing. Could put a school blazer in Fresh Goods. I've got that high school blazer.
We're going to put your sling into Fresh Goods this week.
Yeah.
There is some pictures of me in pain with my dangly arm.
Yeah.
Maybe. I can't believe I've managed to spanner myself for the start of the school holidays. I've got 2 weeks of not having any kids and not having school runs or any of that, and I'm spannered. So I might try and be a third hand and do some van conversion stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just like pass screws or something. Oh. So no hard rock for me. God damn it. I can't even drive us to any fun places. I can't even ride a bike to work, and they're going to be digging the road up in Hebden Bridge. So like it's actually going to be closed at night and stuff. The road in Hebden Bridge is so rough that I've been meaning to get a tray of eggs and a GoPro and put the tray of eggs on the front of my cargo bike and ride at speed through Hebden and see how many eggs are left by the end of the high street. And I can't do that. I've been meaning to do it, haven't done it. Now they're going to fix the road. And I'm not going to be able to swan past them happily as they do the roadworks and there's all this traffic jam because I've got one arm. And yeah. And I'm going to be reliant on trains, which are all on strike. So, frankly, I'm going to sulk and eat biscuits. I haven't got any in the house and I can't get to the supermarket.
Well, at least
can Kev drive? Is he not allowed because he's an illegal alien?
He's an American. They won't let him.
Hey, well, at least you're not, Amanda, going to do a short course cross-country race on Friday of a duration of 20 minutes. Well, I guess that depends on how quickly or how slow you are. But a 20-minute short course race that costs £38 to enter.
She can't actually get into it because she hasn't got enough rankings or something. She's paid the money to join and then they won't let her in because she's not ranked.
£38 to ride for 20 minutes. That's even Whistler's cheaper than that.
I'm going to say something inappropriate.
Cool. Right. Shall we leave it there? I think we've rabbited on enough and I think we can draw it to a close. So, yeah, okay. have a good wherever you are. Hope you enjoyed that. Tune in next week when we've got more. Do check out all the new stuff that we've put on the website that we've talked about in this podcast. And other than that, I think it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome. Oh, this Benji.
Oh, we started. Shit!
Hello and welcome to this week's single. Oh, God, there's your interrupt. Just shut up, Pooper.
Why don't we talk about attending things, like events? It's that time of year, isn't it? I'll talk about events.
Hannah's not even done the introduction yet. Hold on.
Hannah.
Go again, Hannah.
Hello, welcome to this week's Single Track World podcast. I'm Hannah. I'm here with, in alphabetical order,
Benji
and Mark.
Yeah, well done. You got that bit right. Yeah. Okay, the outtakes are good.